Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. It's coming. What do you always hear at the end of church? You hear quite a bit, right? I'm hungry. Let's go and get something to eat. You know, someone once said, Christians sure seem to like to eat. And I guess that's all right. We do get hungry from time to time. And you know, Jesus said something about hunger. And we've been looking at the Beatitudes and some of the things that He said, some of the things that He pronounces a blessing on sometimes comes as a surprise, and hunger happens to be one of them. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And so I want to reflect on that a little bit this morning, And as to how this could be a blessing. I mean, it wouldn't seem like if you hunger and thirst for anything that it could wind up being a blessing. Because if you're hungry, if you're thirsting, then that means you're without something. It means there's something that you don't have. It means that there's something missing. And if something is missing, then how can that be a blessing? Remember that the values of the kingdom are not necessarily the values of the world. So let's reflect on that. What does it mean to hunger and thirst? In other words, do we really know, do we really understand what it means to be hungry? Sometimes when we use the word hungry, we may think of Winnie the Pooh. You know, I have a rumbly in my tummy. You know, and so we get that hungry feeling and we want to get something to eat. But, you know, as I was reflecting on this, I was reminded that things were different, especially in other parts of the world, and especially in the ancient world. The average laborer, with the wage that he received, got very little, and he definitely didn't get a round belly on that. They didn't have a pantry the way that we do. They didn't have a refrigerator to whenever they're hungry, they can go ahead and just pull something out of the refrigerator. The laborer got just enough to eat for one day. And so they literally lived from hand to mouth. My mom used to tell me that where she grew up in Korea, that every once in a while they got meat to eat. That was a treat. I mean, whenever you want meat, you just go to the steakhouse, right? You go to the barbecue house, or you go to Burger King or someplace like that, and you get meat to eat. But she said where she grew up, it was a treat. It's only something that you got every once in a while. And that's the way it was in ancient times as well. You know, thirsting is also different in ancient times and in other parts of the world. You know, one of the things, my wife used to call me and say, "John, on your lunch hour, could you go and get me a Route 44 Dr. Pepper, or Diet Dr. Pepper, or no, Cherry Dr. Pepper." Yeah, or now it's a Route 44 Sweet Tea. We've gotten rid of the Dr. Peppers. But and so we would go and get this monster cup, and I had to be really careful to make sure it didn't tip over. I did that a couple of times in the car, going around the corner, even in the drink carrier. And so we go and get this monster drink, and it would last all day. And you know, in ancient times, it wasn't like that. You couldn't just go down and get a Route 44 if you were thirsty. In fact, you had to go to the village well. And I know there are some places in the world where there is no village well. You'd have to travel for miles just to get a little bit of water. And oftentimes, it's not very clean water at that. Have you ever seen the pictures of these people carrying the big pots of water on their head? And they maybe would travel 5 miles to find just a little pond, and they would have to kind of, you know, scoot the scum off of the top and then dip some of the water out of there. And so something to drink didn't always come easy as well. And so these are pictures of real hunger and real thirst, and it's much deeper than what we often think about. So what does this deep, desperate hunger look like? Imagine a man. He's traveling across the desert. He's got a horse and a wagon, and he's got all his possessions in the wagon with him, and he's got all the supplies that he needs, but this trip is taking much longer than he thought. And as he goes on, the water level gets low, the food level gets low, and finally he runs out. The horse eventually dies, and so he takes what he can, and he puts it on his back, and he carries it. And there's still no water as far as the eye can see. And what winds up happening to all that stuff on his back, he begins to drop it. It's not all that important anymore, is it? And you can see, imagine the trail of things that were just dropped on the desert floor. And you see a scene of a man just all by himself. He's left everything behind. What does he want at this point? A bigger house? That's probably the last thing on his mind, right? A bigger paycheck? Probably not. A bigger wardrobe, a cool car, all the things that we think that might be important are no longer important. There's one thing and one thing only that he wants. He wants water. Nothing else matters. He's got to have water. Or imagine a man on a cruise, and he's standing on the edge of the boat. He's looking out over the ocean, and he trips and he falls into the water. And the problem is he can't swim. And so he's thrashing around and flailing in the water, and he sees his life pass before his eyes, and he's ready to pass out. And fortunately, somebody was there, seen him go down, and somebody actually jumped in and rescued him. And he got him on the boat, and this man happened to be wealthy. And he tells the man that rescued him, "I'm going to offer you a reward for saving my life. Name your price." And instead of naming a price, instead of naming a figure, the man says, "I'll take half of what you would have been willing to give when you were drowning." See, at that point, things that we consider important probably aren't all that important. He was desperate. And that's the type of hunger that Jesus is talking about. It's not the type of hunger that says, "Well, I think I could go for a pizza." It's not the type of thirst that says, "Well, I could use a Route 44 Diet Dr. Pepper." It's an inner desire that says, "I have got to have it. I need it. I can't do without it. There's nothing else that I'm going to be satisfied with except for this one thing." Have you ever craved anything so bad that that's all you could think of? Have you ever craved anything so bad that's all you wanted and it consumed you? You were desperate for it. And you felt like filling this particular hunger is the most important thing and nothing else matters. Jesus says, "Oh, the blessedness of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." This hunger means something is missing. And if something is missing, then how could that be a blessing? And as I thought about that, it dawned on me that the blessedness itself is in the desire and in the wanting. Notice Jesus didn't say, "Oh, the blessedness of those who are satisfied." Now, people in the world will highlight just how blessed that looks. To have everything you want, to want for nothing, to be completely satisfied. That is the dream. But Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are not satisfied. Blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting." How can a deep, desperate, starving desire for anything wind up being a blessing? Now, have you ever walked by a restaurant before and you smelled the aroma coming out of it? Maybe they were cooking fajitas in there. Maybe they were cooking something Asian, if you like that sort of thing. Or maybe they were cooking beef. They were cooking steak. Or maybe it was cookies. Freshly baked cookies. And the aroma comes out, and what happens to your body? Your mouth begins to water, right? Your stomach begins to grumble, and you start looking at where in the world is that aroma coming from. And it's time to do something about it. You may not have been hungry before, but now you feel like you are hungry. Now let me ask you, are you satisfied with just the aroma? You go into Jimmy John's, what does it say? Free smells. Does anyone ever go in there for the free smells? Yes, I'm here for the free smells. No one is satisfied for just the smells, right? You want more. You've got to have more. It's not enough just to smell the aroma. And so you reach for more. And that's the blessing of this wanting, this desire, this overpowering desire for righteousness. And you know, there were those people in Scripture that desired more, kept pressing for more. Think about Moses. Think about all the things that Moses saw. "I pray, Lord, please show me your glory." When is enough enough? Think about it. Moses was met face to face with God in a burning bush. You remember that? Moses saw the presence of God come down as a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire at night. Moses saw God come down and perform all of His mighty deeds in Egypt and showing His superiority over all the supposed gods of Egypt. And at one point, Moses and 70 of the elders went up on the mountain and they ate in the very presence of God. And now Moses says, "I want you to show me your glory." Yet he wanted more. In spite of all the stuff that he had, he wanted more. Or think about the Apostle Paul. the Apostle Paul. Remember, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And here was a man who met Christ one day, face to face. Here was a man who Jesus would come would actually audibly speak to him, like when he went into Corinth and he said, don't be afraid any longer. Keep preaching the Word of God because I have many people in this city. And yet, Paul never seemed to be completely satisfied with what he had on this earth. He wanted more. He knew that there was more coming. Or what about this? Turn to the 63rd Psalm with me, if you would. And I want you to... This is a book that models for us our approach to God and praying to God. And I want you to note and see if you can feel the desire of the psalmist as we read 63rd Psalm. The psalmist says, O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise You. So I will bless You as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with my joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches. For You have been my help, and in the shadow of Your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to You. Your right hand upholds me. And so it's almost as if I'm in a dry and weary land. There's no water. Lord, I want more. I thirst for You. I hunger for You. I mourn for You. I long for You. I want more. And so here is the psalmist is hungering and thirsting for God. Can you feel the longing of the psalmist here? Some of the songs that we sing reflect this longing. I don't know if you ever heard the song Breathe. First time I heard it was by a group called Free Indeed, but I guess it was originally by Michael Smith. But the words are real simple. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very Word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for You. And I'm lost without You. Lord, You are my breath. Your presence in me, that is my life. Your Word is what sustains me. That is my food. Lord, I long for You. I don't know what I'd do without You. Lord, I'm desperate for You. Expresses the same sentiment that we read in the Psalm. Or the 42nd Psalm. Take your Psalm books and turn to number 71. That song is taken from the 42nd Psalm and expresses a deep desire for God. And I think we know the song, right? As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after You. That's number 71. Let's go ahead and sing that. As a deer pants for the water, so longs after You. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You. You alone are my strength, my shield. To You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You. I want You more than gold or silver, only You can satisfy.
You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
There is blessedness in not being satisfied. The blessing is not in being satisfied, at least not on this earth, but the blessing is in our hunger and our thirst for righteousness, our hunger and our thirst for God. Because what happens when you're satisfied? You stop striving. You stop reaching. Our hunger for God, our hunger for what's right, our hunger for what pleases Him is what propels us and what motivates us to do the things that we do. And so I want to reflect on the last part of that beatitude. The object of our hunger. It's not success, at least not in worldly terms. It's not money. It's not a big house, although that would be nice, right? It's not a nice car, although it would be nice to have a car that runs. It's not in having a bunch of friends. It's not in acceptance. It's not in some kind of a self-fulfilling thing. It's not even in romantic love or any other things that the world strives for. And I know some of us that spend on this earth that spend all of our emotional energy on things such as this. And we keep expending our energy hoping that something will come along, something better will come along, and something will satisfy us, something will give us meaning. And you know, there are some people that actually do achieve their earthly desires and then in the end find that it winds up being empty anyway. Have you ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? Here was a man who was so rich he could actually do whatever he wanted and pursue any desire that he wanted. And yet at the end, he finds that it's all meaningless anyway. And he never winds up being filled in that way. You know, one of the things that he writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10 is this: he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. This too is vanity. See, this is his road sign to us. This is his road sign. It says, hey, this road goes nowhere. This road is a dead end. And so if we want to become acceptance junkies or money junkies or some other kind of junkie, it might provide some level of satisfaction just for a little time, but it's only temporary. At the end of the day, there's no blessing in any of it. It will not fill you. It will not bless you, even though it may feel like it right now. You know, it's kind of like eating cookies. You know, what are you always told when you're a kid? When you come in and you see those cookies and maybe they've just gotten baked and it's dinner time and you want a cookie, you always tell your child, well, wait till after dinner, because what are you going to do your dinner if you have your cookies now? You're going to ruin your dinner. You're going to spoil your dinner. What does that mean? If you fill your body with sugar, it's going to eliminate that feeling of hunger. Now, it doesn't eliminate true hunger, right? Not true hunger. I mean, if all you live on are cookies, if all you live on is chocolate, ladies, and all you live on... I think I'm in trouble. But all you live on is sugar. It may kill that feeling of hunger, but it doesn't take care of the real hunger. We need something that has substance and something that is substantial. And that's kind of the way it is with these other things. When we fill our lives with the sugar, these alternatives that the world has to offer, it may kill that hunger feeling for a time, and we may wind up starving spiritually, not even realize it because we feel full right now. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 2, the prophet says, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. You don't want bread that isn't really bread. You don't want imitations. You don't want something that's going to kill your real hunger and leave you unsatisfied without you realizing about it. It is okay. It is okay to be unsatisfied. It's okay to hunger. It's okay to thirst for righteousness. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. What it does mean is there's something wrong with the world. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it means that you recognize that all is not right in the world. And I think we all recognize that all is not right in the world. And because of that, and because of our passion for what is right, because of our passion for God, we have a passion for what is right and pleasing to God. So what does this look like, this passion for what is right? How in the world do you know, do any of us know what is truly right? There's a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that says it will be righteousness for us if we're careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as He commanded us. That reminds us that God is the standard for what is right. God's a standard for what is just. God is a standard for what is ethical, virtuous, and honorable. And we know when we compare things to God that all is not right in the world. And so we hunger and thirst for righteousness. It means we may have a passion about the unborn. It means we may have a passion about human trafficking. It means we may have a passion about the killing of innocent people around the world in the name of some other god. It means we may have a passion about oppression. It means we may have a passion about what's fair and right and moral and ethical. It means we have a passion about those who are starving, those who are hurting, those who are broken all around us. And it means we have a passion about the lost who have not heard the gospel yet. And Jesus says, oh, the blessedness of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Think about that. They will be filled. You may hunger for all of these other sugars that the world has to offer, but it will bring no satisfaction. But if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus says, you will be satisfied. In the end, all abomination and all wickedness and all death and all dying and all mourning and all the ugly things of this world will be done away with. But the kingdom of our Lord will stand forever, and righteousness will dwell in the kingdom forever. You will be filled. You know, there was one time when Jesus was traveling with His disciples, and they stopped at a city that they normally would not have gone through in Samaria. And they sat down by a well. Jesus sat down by a well, and they went into the city to go get some food because it was time to eat in the middle of the day. And as Jesus sat down by the well while the disciples were all gone to get food, this woman comes up to Him and they have this discussion. And He turns her attention to Himself as the Messiah. And when she realized that Jesus was the promised one who was to come, she got all excited, went back into the city and brought back a whole bunch of other people. When the disciples came back with all of this food, Jesus wasn't hungry anymore. They try to get Him to eat. And He says, I've got food to eat that you don't know about. And the disciples are wondering, well, who, did somebody bring Him something to eat? And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting for what pleases for God. This was His food. This was His passion. So let me ask the question this morning. What about what you're passionate about? Are you passionate about God's will for you? What is God's will for you this morning? And that may depend on where you're at in life. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sin? Do you believe that He rose from the grave? Do you believe that He is Lord? And are you ready to accept Him as your Savior and as your Lord and allow Him to wash away all of your sins? Are you ready to let Him call the shots in your life? Because if you are, then you're ready for the water. You go down into the water, your old self will be washed away, you become as a new person. He'll wash away all of your sins. And you can start to hunger and thirst for the things of God. And if you've already done that, remember, in all of your hungering and thirsting for what's right, you will be filled. Don't desire the wrong things. Don't desire the sugars of this world, as sweet as it may seem, because it'll only be a dead end. It won't end in life. It'll end in death. So your passion, make it the things of God. We're going to go ahead and sing a song this morning. If you need to respond, please come as we stand and sing.